Good evening. We're going to continue our conversations about the family as we've been doing this month. And so everything that we're studying is in relation to how it affects the family. Some of the things that I'm going to point out could easily be attributed to another facet of life. But let's keep our minds focused upon the family. The subject matter of which I was asked to present is the power of a respectful wife. And Lindsay gave me full permission to poke fun, do some jokey jokes, but I'm not. And this is the reason being. This is a very serious subject because there are so many divorces and so many split-ups and so many problems in families. Because people don't want to do what they're supposed to do. Okay? And I'm not condoning the activities of a cheater, but there are times where that cheater will say, I felt unappreciated. I felt this. I felt that. They weren't feeling the love and the nurture that they should have from their spouse. And so we can make jokes and we can make fun and we can tease a little bit, but it just degrades the seriousness of this topic. So that's not my norm. I do like to smile more than be sad and frowny, but I'm going to be sad and frowny and very serious tonight. When work needs to be done, whether it's personal or in business, and someone is asked or hired to be a helper, are they in charge? That's the question. They're asked to be a help. Think in your minds, okay? Are they in charge? Are they the boss? Are they who all the responsibility falls to if there is success or failure? Okay? Think about these things. In the corporate world or in business, when a company is hired to do a task and the task is accomplished, who gets the credit from the public's eye? It's the company, right? What about when it fails at completing that task? It's still the company. The company gets the credit for the failure or the success. It's not its helpers and it's not its employees. It's the company. If you don't believe this, go look at Google reviews. It'll say things like, I can't believe this company would do that. Or they would keep these people hired after I saw what I saw. Or whatever it is. It always goes back to the value of the company, not necessarily its employees or the people that did the work. How could the company allow that to happen? Okay? Who's in charge? Is it sometimes the fault of the help or the employee when something goes wrong? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, the bosses can't be everywhere. Okay? Can the helper cause the bad review or rep, and how so? They can do it by doing a bad job, by disregarding the instructions of the boss, by misrepresenting the company in conversation, by showing disrespect for those in charge, right? That's just to name a few of them, okay? Is it considered respectful when the helper does not adhere to the authority of the company? It is very disrespectful, okay? Will the company want to continue the employment of that helper? Okay? Think about that in your brains, okay, while we continue on. Hold that thought. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 reads, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we have two genders, two sexes, two whatever you want to call it, male and female. Okay, that's it. Let's continue on to chapter 2, verse 18. And it reads, And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Okay? That helper is not to be a hindrance. That helper is not there to take over. That helper is not there to do their own thing. They are to operate within the parameters set by the person or the authority in charge. Right? We just defined what a helper is in the corporate world. The same word means the same thing. They're the helper. Okay? Therefore, woman is to do the same for her man. Help. Be helpful. Chad, this is Old Testament stuff. We're so evolved now in our society. Women are so capable. They are capable, and they were capable back then too. But that's not the way God put it out there. And that's the problem we have. We realize that women are capable of doing some of the things that men are capable of doing themselves, that God put in their jurisdiction. You know what? There may be some women that are way better public speakers than some of the ones we have preaching. But that doesn't allow them the right to usurp God's authority on who's to be preaching in front of the congregation. Okay? So, all right. Evolved society. Well, guess what? In Ephesians chapter 5, this thing is echoed again. This very thing about who has the authority and who is the helper. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. We'll read it in a moment. Just so you know, the Ephesian letter was about 4,000 years after the beginning of the world. Okay? We are only 2,000 years from the writing of the Ephesian letter. So we've had less time to evolve society, you know, in our society than they had from the beginning to the Ephesian letter. Okay? So, in verse 22 through 24, let's read that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay? They're the helpers. They're not supposed to be making some of the decisions that we're allowing to happen. They're to help in those decisions, but to make it is different. Okay? Let's continue reading verse 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought a man to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. It's interesting to me that in verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Well, what did Christ do for the church? He sacrificed himself. Why? So that he could present it blameless in a glorious offering. Right? We are to put ourselves second to our wives, husbands, okay? So that we can offer a great offering of our wife. Okay? Of our wife. So, there are a lot of things that people will try to argue within these parameters, but let's just focus on what's written, okay? Christ's goal is to present the church as a glorious offering through his sacrifice and instruction. The goal of the husband should be the same for his bride. If the church does not respect the instruction and authority of Christ, will they be a glorious offering? Will the church flourish? Will it be a shining light in the world as we are commanded to do in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16? Will the church have any power to resist the temptations of the world in James chapter 4, verse 7? Replace that relationship of Jesus in the church, just as Paul did, with husband and wife, okay? If it is reasonable to answer negatively to these questions, then it is reasonable to say the same thing about a wife who does not respect the leadership of her husband. The marriage and the family will not flourish. The marriage and the family will not be a shining light, and the marriage and the family will have no power to resist the temptations of the world. Go back to what I said before. I'm not condoning the activities of a cheater. But that cheater finds it a whole lot more tempting to go into the world when his spouse is not doing what she needs to do. And vice versa. But we're not studying that. I was told to talk about wives. Well, Chad, that doesn't apply to the heathen of a husband, right? Well, a husband who does not value the Christian faith. Go read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Wives have power in their marriages and family. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, the wife's example can turn the husband to Christ. That's power. It is not, that power is not forfeited by being in subjection. That's a true power. Who else has to submit? Who else has to submit to God? In James chapter 4, verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, and many more passages establish that everyone must submit to Christ. By doing so, we will have great power, just like a wife in her marriage. Wives, if you haven't been doing as God has commanded you to do, and your power has not been realized within your family, make that change today. Go to your husbands and let them know. Swallow some pride. Okay? I'm sure we're going to talk about husbands, and if not, then I am in big trouble. But we need to swallow our pride too sometimes, husbands. But again, this is a lesson on wives. If you have not submitted your life to Christ, why not tonight? If you don't know how to do that, it's no problem. We can have a Bible study. The Bible tells us all the answers. If you have not submitted, and if you have submitted your life to Christ through repentance and baptism, as we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and following, and you're struggling with being in subjection still, it's a long, long race. Okay, but there's a glorious crown for those who run the race and complete it. Let's make that known if you need help. If you're in any need, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing.